Hey, this is Rob Ansbach, and welcome back to another edition of E-Heroes for this Keep and Count. This is episode 370.
Wow.
And my next guest, we're going to talk about tripling down on relationships. And ironically, this is his third time on the show. His first time back in 2018, where we talked about being a connector. His second time was in 2022, when he was talking about creating billion-dollar relationships. Now, you know, third time's a charm. We're talking about tripling down on those relationships, especially in the age of AI. So welcome back, Kevin. Thompson. And
I'm looking forward to this. Wow. So I didn't, you got the timelines down and everything. So we're about 3 years in between, 4 years in between, and then now 3 years since the last one.
Yeah, so from
every three or four years.
7 years and three episodes. And, you know, but you're that guy who I've always, felt was like me. You know, we both came from a cleaning background. We both knew Joe Polish. We both grew up with the masters, you know, learning marketing from Dan Kennedy and Jay Abraham.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've been in this game a long, long time. And it's not like we're old timers, but we're getting up there. Like I was talking to you off air, we're the last generation to know life before the internet.
Yeah.
And now with AI coming in, and every entrepreneur that I know is panicking because they feel that their jobs are no longer needed. Consultants, you know, copywriters, marketers, companies can just go to AI and ask AI, hey, solve this for me. Maybe they can. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You know, you have developed this system where, you know, you created these connections, these relationships with million-dollar companies, million-dollar people. And they're not concerned with the day-to-day, you know, tragic crap that the media is spinning. Yeah. They just continue to do what they do.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. And, yeah, so, man, the last conversations we had so AI is certainly changing stuff, and AI, you know, I mean, there's a lot of good that can be done with AI, and that is being done. There's a lot of bad that can be done.
Just this morning, I was out with my son looking at cars, because he needs a new reliable car. So we go to this car lot, and you know, they got the window stickers and everything for the used cars, and we did do a test drive. But in the test drive, I took my phone, snapped a picture of the car VIN and all the particulars, and I uploaded to ChatGPT. I said, what do you think? Okay. And it told me all the recalls. It told me, you know, everything that was wrong with the vehicle. And wow. I get back to the salesperson, and I said, you know, I uploaded this to ChatGPT. This is what it spit out. Is it true? And the guy goes, yeah, we had a few issues with the seatbelt module going in and the I guess it's connected to the airbag. And so if in an accident, that wouldn't deploy. So we have a part on order, but this is our third attempt. And I'm like, nope. So AI is great for helping you decide what to buy. Maybe even making a recipe.
Yeah.
But I've also noticed that people are putting too much faith in AI when it comes to just the other day, someone posted something. He says, well, this is true because I pulled it off of Perplexity. And I said, well, it can't be because Google AI and ChatGPT are saying the opposite. So which one's true?
Mm-hmm.
Then I did a deep dive, and it's known that some AI like Perplexity is pulling directly from, you know, the wrong sources, these fake media, you know, the ones that like to spin stories. And then now people are thinking, well, that's true because it's on AI.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to, we have, and if we can continue to go back and forth, well, this one's not trustworthy, this one's trustworthy. And you know, if we go back to the whole airbag thing on the car, how do I know any of that is true? You know, yeah. I'm glad that the sales rep, you know, acknowledged that the fact. But yeah. What if there's nobody there to acknowledge what AI is doing?
Yeah.
So are we having a relationship with a real person, or are we having a relationship with an AI?
That's an interesting question right there, isn't it? Because, you know, we see stuff on social media. We see stuff on the internet. We, you know, heck, we might receive phone calls now, you know. And I can assure you a lot of it is AI, for sure.
Okay.
And but what I you know, it's really interesting because I'm in a unique position where I am regularly, like during my work week, I am regularly in communication with entrepreneurs. I mean, entrepreneurs running companies anywhere from, oh gosh, I don't know, I mean, half a million up to 750 million, you know. And what I really believe is that AI will never take the place of real, meaningful connection with between people, because it takes heart and soul for that, and AI can't compete on that.
You know, you might be able to prompt it to give a phrase or a post or something that kind of feels empathetic to a human, but you know, a lot of times you create something and you're like, oh, that sounds great. But does it sound like you?
Yeah.
You know, are you telling it to be sarcastic? Are you telling it to be, you know, liberal or right wing or whatever terminology that you think fits you? Mm-hmm. And then you start spitting out all this stuff and it's like, dude, that's not even how you write.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you knew anything above a 5-syllable word.
And
so you look at people like, no, AI did that, and so now there's distrust, or you know, in the whole thing where everybody is saying, well, that must be AI because there's M dashes, or you know, there's a word in there or a phrase that says here's the truth, or and I'm like, I've been saying all that crap for years, and M dashes go back to the 1800s when they, you know, had the, you know, printing presses, you know, the hand crank thing.
Yeah.
So AI is learning from stuff that is popular, you know, back then, may not be as popular now. So yeah, it's easily detected, but it's also picking up phrases that are popular with people. Here's the truth, you know, or here's the kicker. You know, I like to use here's the skinny. And so now you're getting, you know, all these posters starting to say like that. And I'm like, that's my saying.
Yeah.
But,
you know, it's interesting because, you know, along the lines of what you're talking about, what it really comes down to is trust. And that's the thing right there, is that people just want to know, well, who can I trust? What can I trust? Yeah. You know?
You know, and after COVID, it was, I mean, we all know that it's know, like, and trust, right?
Yeah.
But after COVID, I added that fourth element, feel safe. Because nobody felt safe during COVID.
That's right. Well, that's right.
All these myths, misconceptions, these fears. And you know, all people wanted to do was feel safe. They wanted to go outside. They wanted to go to the grocery store. I just want to feel safe. I don't care about the masks. I don't care about your politics. I don't care about this. I just want my safety back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you, and then here, that was the other issue. Now people, I mean, marketers knew it, you know, I'm a marketer, you're a marketer, but some of these places exploited that, but we have this great product that'll make you feel safe. But you know, we didn't trust it because the government was saying it. So, you know, then you had all these problems with the vaccines, and you had all these problems with, you know, humans just want to feel safe.
Yep. That's all we want. And we want to have, you know, I mean, for me as a parent, I just want to, I want my kids to have the best life that they can possibly have. I want them to be able to go out into this world and make their impact and hopefully enjoy doing what they do. You know, and I think as a general rule, you know, we all want the same things. Mm-hmm. You know, we want meaningful relationships. We want life to be good for our kids. We want to be able to feel safe, you know. You know, all these things, and you know, we're a whole lot more alike than we are different,
right?
And so much of what we actually see in the media or on social media or what have you, you know what? That's not real life, because like that's not what I experience when I go out into the world. Mm-hmm. I go to the grocery store or to a local restaurant or whatever. All this stuff that I see going on there, I'm not seeing that in real life, you know. Yeah. I mean, I was just at an event in Toronto a couple weeks ago for my buddy Gio put on this event. And, you know, there was a couple thousand entrepreneurs that came to that event. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, I mean, they're making some pretty big impacts in this world and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're all about using their gifts, their abilities, their businesses to make their biggest impact and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely inspiring mm-hmm. to get into conversations with entrepreneurs like that, yeah. You know.
You know, you know, what gets I guess my juice is flowing now as I've gotten older is about legacy. And a lot of these, you know, millionaire entrepreneurs, you know, they don't care about the money. They care about the impact, the legacy that they're going to have, you know, on the community that they serve. And you know, that was kind of what inspired me to write, you know, my legacy book. And, you know, it took me, you know, when I had the carpet cleaning business you know, that's how I met you, you know, but I didn't think about legacy back then.
No.
I thought about maybe, you know, I need enough money to pay my mortgage or, you know, get groceries or do this. I didn't think about the equipment. I didn't think about marketing. I was focused on the next job.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, it took a couple of years. I had to learn marketing. I had to learn all these things. But what I never was taught was the importance of legacy until I got older and I realized I wasn't working, you know, for just the day-to-day garbage. I was creating something bigger and better for myself.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the fact, hey, I'm going to leave all this money to charity when I die and that's my legacy. Because most times it's not about money. It's about knowledge. It's about, you know, your word impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you get older, you start, your priorities change, you know. And you do start kind of thinking of like, well, you know, what is going to happen when I'm gone? And will I have made an impact? Will I have made a difference? You know, and I'd sure like to hope so, you know. And, but, you know, that's for me, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that really matters mm-hmm. is impact, you know. And I'll tell you what, the cool thing is when we get the impact right, here's the deal, because revenue is the natural and organic byproduct of impact.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger impact we make, the more revenue that gets created.
And, you know, and look at Elon Musk. A lot of people don't like him.
For sure. Know,
but he's creating such an impact in the world, and it's coming back and rewarding him for the impact that he's delivered.
Yes.
So you got, you know, you got Tesla, you got
SpaceX.
Yeah, and you got the internet stuff and the boring and you know, it can go on and on and on. And Yeah, you know, maybe we didn't like him because he affiliated with, you know, politics, or we didn't like him for this. But you know what? Every time you hate on somebody, you have to think about them in order for your hate to build up.
Totally. Yeah.
And so you're just giving back the energy, and you're making him have a bigger impact.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest thing to do if you don't like someone, stop thinking about them.
Yeah. Yeah. Which means don't hold a grudge either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll tell you, because you know what, we hold a grudge, and we're the only one who suffers in that, because whoever we're holding the grudge against, you know what, they ain't giving us 1 second's bit of thought. So the longer we hold that grudge, so forgiving somebody, in many cases, it's not even for them. It's for us.
Yeah.
So that we can just release that shit and let it go and have our peace, you know. And, you know, yeah, because holding grudges, that we're the only ones that are impacted by holding a grudge, you know.
Yeah. And once you release that ego, you can do amazing things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, you know, Elon, whether you love him or you don't, that guy's making a big impact in so many different ways, you know, in a lot of different ways, not just one industry. He's in a bunch of different industries, and that guy is just going to continue doing his thing, you know.
And Jeff Bezos, too. And I admire these guys because they give me something that I need to push myself to be more of. You know, people complain about Jeff Bezos all the time. They think his policies are this or that, you know, or he's not a nice guy because he got divorced and got remarried. To me, all that's trivial shit. You know, if you just applied 1% of your brain to do something positive every day, you wouldn't even be complaining about anybody.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But, you know, the internet, the social media was supposed to be social, to bring us together, but it's really been a weapon to tear us apart.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of us need to restrict the amount of time that we spend online.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have, you know, pick up the phone and just talk to somebody. I think we've become shielded, protected. Caught in our umbilical environment that's tied to our phones, and we're living in the matrix.
Yeah,
I think we do need to, as this episode is called, triple down on our relationships.
Yeah,
because it's very important that, you know, we as humans continue to have conversations with other humans.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you know, and I can't remember all of our conversations in our last two interviews, but I know this whole idea, and I learned this term of active appreciation from my friend Jesse Elder 12 years ago, actually 13 years ago. Now it was in 2012. And you know, I've been that way, but I never. He was the first time that, like, I had somebody like use the term and like, this is how you show up, you know. Mm-hmm. And now that I had that explained to me 13 years ago, I'm like, I could be more intentional about that. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. Because, you know, no matter how successful somebody is, no matter how big of a business they run, no matter how great things look from the outside looking in, I can tell you from personal experience that there's not a person on the face of this earth that gets too much appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
And when we just show genuine appreciation, not using this as a strategy or a tactic, but just let it be who we are. And be appreciative of people and let them know it. I mean, from the person who's like working at the local Starbucks or who just served you your meal or whatever. I was Toronto 2 weeks ago when I went there. The last day I was there on Sunday, I met five friends for lunch. And this gal that served us at that restaurant, we were having a brunch there. And this gal, her name was Nikki. And I'll tell you, she went so far over and beyond what was asked or required of her and just made that such an amazing experience that we ended up giving her this really great tip. And then there's this platform you use called I Believe in You, and IBIY for short. And you can just do there's an app in the App Store for it. And they give you get these little bracelets that they can track it on the app. So you scan it. And so we did it right there at the table. We scanned this. I had a bracelet. We scanned it. Then we created a video from all five of us. And we just talked to her and said, hey, you know what, man, we love and appreciate you so much. And thank you for just giving such a great experience. And we went around the table and everybody at the table talked. And then it uploaded that video. And then we gave her the bracelet. And so when we paid the check and gave her a tip and we gave her a bracelet and said, hey, go download the app, IBIY, just look that up in the App Store, go download it, scan the bracelet, and there's a video from us just waiting there for you. Mm-hmm. And she was dang near in tears. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you have no idea how much I really needed this today, you know? And I have no idea what's going on in her life and what she was dealing with, but that made an impact, you know? Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, as an entrepreneur, showing up that way has opened so many doggone doors for me over the years. So many doors that just genuine appreciation for people.
Yeah.
And I have connected with millionaires and even billionaires
mm-hmm.
by just showing up that way and just be genuinely appreciative of people.
A couple of years ago, I created just a simple 15-second welcome video so that when people connect with me on LinkedIn, I send them this non-pitchy, you know, hey, you're awesome. I appreciate your friend, you know, your friendship, you know, let's have a conversation. And, you know, and then I transcribed it too. So if they didn't want to watch the video, they could just read the transcript.
Mm-hmm.
And, my LinkedIn connections went from 2000. Now it's up to 11,000.
Wow. Nice.
Just because you do something different.
Yeah.
Just because it's non-pitchy. You know, just because you invite them to a conversation and then they share it. They get other people, hey, you got to see, you know, this guy's doing
it's so awesome unique.
Stuff. Yeah, it's different. And you know, a couple times people say, well, you added the gate, you sent me a video. Did you read it? Did you read the transcript? Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Block. Nope. It's like,
You
know, because we've been trained on LinkedIn to pitch.
Yeah.
I don't want to pitch. You know, if you want to have a conversation, great, learn about me. Then, you know, after you know me and you decided, hey, you know, Rob's a nice guy and this is how I can help them, then send me something.
Yeah.
Just not out of the gate. That's just stupid. But that's how the world is. We just spray and pray.
Yeah.
And we hope that we hit somebody. And I think that's the dumbest way to build a relationship.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Mm. Yeah. And nobody wants to be pitched right out of the gate, you know.
And you're doing some awesome things where, you know, there's no pitching involved. You know, you don't come right out and pitch them. You know, you build that relationship. And it's. You know, people say, well, I don't have time to play the long game.
What else are you going to do?
That's right. I mean, we've been doing this for 30 years. What else are we going to do?
You know, I will tell you, I have well, you mentioned Joe Polish. That's how you and I met, through Joe Polish. Well, I met Joe Polish for the first time back in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and so I've got relationships in my life that span back 30 years. I mean, and I've got other relationships that span back further than that, obviously. But like Joe was my introduction to marketing, introduction to business when I didn't have a clue what I was doing, you know. And so that he was the first guy I met in my entrepreneurial career. My entrepreneurial journey. I don't know that I would have called myself much of an entrepreneur when I met him, but I've learned a few things over the last 30 years. You know,
but one of the greatest highlights, I think, coming out of Joe Polish is you know, I went to his event in 98, went to another one in 2000. He interviewed me for his Genius of the Month tape thing.
And I remember that.
A tape? What the hell is a tape?
Cassette tape. Yes.
You know, and yes. You know, it's like, okay, unless you have an old car, you're not going to have a cassette recorder. And you know, then you say DVDs, and there are people like, what century are you from?
Yeah.
You know, so we've bypassed all that. And now, you know, people don't even think about MP3s anymore because they're all instant downloads. And
yeah.
You know, so we've passed through multiple, you know, media formats.
Sure.
Over the course of 30 years.
Yeah.
The messages are still there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it all comes down to relationships.
Yeah.
You know, and you know it, and I know it. Getting the wrong relationships can tank your business.
You bet.
Can tank your reputation.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So you've done a great job in, and I'm not saying it's a collection of people, but you created this resource that at any moment in time you could pick up the phone and call somebody and they would be there for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, sure. And I think you've done probably one of the best jobs doing that than anybody I know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, and there's when we place a high value on relationships, and I'll tell you, because relationships are the right relationships are so doggone valuable. They will just, you know, you get right in contact with the exact people that you need to meet with for whatever you might be dealing with, mm-hmm. through the right relationships. And, you know, it all comes down to like appreciation and then just being of service to people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the relationships in my life, I've always been like, okay, anything that I do, I want it to help further the relationship that I already have with this person. Mm-hmm. If I'm making an introduction, if I'm doing whatever, you know, my goal is I want the person coming back going, wow, Kev, thanks so much for that. That was really valuable. Thanks so much for connecting me with so-and-so. That was really valuable. You know, whatever that is, I want it to further the relationship. And so that's always my litmus test is will doing this further the relationship that I already have with this person? Or if I'm making an introduction, will it further the relationship with both of these people? You know, mm-hmm. And so I've just came from that place the whole time, and it is absolutely amazing, mm-hmm. who you get connected with, what you can accomplish via the right relationships.
Yeah. You know, our good friend Steve Sims, who passed away in July.
Yeah.
You know, he knew a lot, everybody. I mean, he knew Elton John, he knew, you know, all these famous celebrities. And he said, people would always come up to him and say, can you introduce me to Elton John? He would say, why?
Why?
Because not only, and it wasn't rude in the way his approach was. It was just, he wanted to understand why he would connect somebody to another person.
Yes.
And he didn't want to waste the other person's time.
Yeah.
Just for, you know, hey, I just want to shake his hand. Because that's just,
you know. Yeah.
So, you know. Steve was just, but he was just blunt. Why? Yeah. You know, so I look at, I get these emails all the time. Hey, Rob, I have somebody that would be great for your podcast. Tell me more. Why? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like people pitching me on somebody that I don't even know. That's why I like to invite people I know back on the show. I don't care if they've been on the show 100 times.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate that relationship that I built with them. And to get somebody that somebody pitched to me, I'm like, are they just doing it just because they want to be on all these podcasts, or they actually have a message that they want to deliver?
Yeah. Well, and here's the reality, because we've been hosting the Million Dollar Relationships podcast for 3 years now too. And I regularly get messages from people, whether it's, you know, on Facebook or LinkedIn or email or what have you, saying, hey, I heard so-and-so on your podcast, you know, can I get an introduction to them? And I'm the same way. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. You don't want to just, even if you can get connected, You want to come from a place of being of genuine service to that person. That's where you need to come from. Mm-hmm. And coming from any other place, coming from a self-serving place of what do I want from this person? Now, you know, and I get it. Everybody's most important thing is what am I going to get out of this? What's in this for me? You know, and I totally get that. But to get the attention of the right kind of people, it's got to be from a place of service. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, you know, from being in this place all these years and being this connector, being this conduit of trust for so many of these entrepreneurs now, you know, the more successful that an entrepreneur gets, the smaller their circle becomes of people that they can truly trust and confide in. And so, you know, you want to be that kind of a person. You want to be that kind of a conduit for people in your life and stuff. And when you show up that way, you become incredibly valuable to them. Mm-hmm. And they place a very high value on the relationship that they have. And so then, you know, by coming from a place of a service, then they want to help us too and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we'll get the opportunity to get what we want too and stuff, but come from a place of service.
Right. Yeah. You had mentioned what's in it for me. And, you know, I tried to change some of that element around so it's not on me. And so how can I benefit you?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But then people are like, well, what's the catch?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And so, you know, it's people are funny creatures. They are, you know, because they want to know, one, you know, is it going to cost me something? You know, yeah. Or, you know, what part of my life are you going to rob from me? You know, whether it be time, talent, energy. And so, but some of these people that you are affiliated with, they don't think on those levels.
Yeah.
You know, they've distanced themselves from the media attention. They've distanced themselves from the negative news. They've distanced themselves from people that don't understand their vision.
Yep.
And like you said, it's a small circle. But yep. From that small circle, you can create, you know, a dynamic legacy that makes millions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, in my mind, it definitely has not been about quantity. It's been about quality far over and above quantity, you know. And
So where can people find you? Where do they go?
Oh, well, I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. On Facebook, Kevin the Connector. And I don't know. You can look me up on LinkedIn. So there's a bunch of Kevin Thompsons on LinkedIn that are, you know, actors.
You got to go with the handsome guy.
Yeah, it's the handsome one. So yeah, it's not the actors. It's not the sports figures. It's not the attorneys. You know, it's the handsome one. It's me. And you know what? I'll say this. Check out the Million Dollar Relationships podcast. And if what you see there resonates with you, if you are an established entrepreneur who's making a big impact through your business, who wants to make an even bigger impact through your business, who you are also coming from this place of service, just wanting to be of help and of service and pouring into others. You know, I would love to meet you and have a conversation, get to know you a little bit. And if it makes sense, we could totally talk about doing an interview for the Million Dollar Relationships podcast too and stuff. So,
yeah, it's, you know, and I want everybody out there to realize that, you know, you don't have to think small anymore. You really don't. Yeah. You don't have to worry about, you know, if you can afford that peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you know, are you charging enough? You know, because there's people out there that will pay. You just have to find them. And I understand that maybe you live in a small community. You know, I used to have the carpet cleaning business in a small community. I'm sure yours wasn't in a big, you know.
No, mine's a small town too.
But we built something and we kept building it. We kept working it. And we learned from our mistakes that we, you know, because we worked the trenches. Yeah. You know, carpet cleaning is not easy, but it taught us marketing. It taught us customer service. It taught us customer psychology.
Yeah.
You know, and it taught us how to treat the relationships better.
Yeah.
You know, to sell them things that they actually need and not something that we just want to push.
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, when I started the cleaning business, I think my average ticket at the time was $75. To a lot of people, that's still a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I wanted something bigger, better. By the time I sold the business in 2014, my average ticket was about $900.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and now what I did, I mean, I used to do multiple jobs a day, you know, just to get peanuts. To the point where I was doing one job a day, making a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are the types of relationships that I love. And people say, well, Rob, that sounds like about money. No, it's about freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, freedom as an entrepreneur is so much different than money, because the things that you can do, you know, with that money, like take a vacation, like contribute to, you know, investments, to, you know, buy more equipment. We don't, you know, as a young entrepreneur, you don't think about those things.
Yeah.
But as I was growing that business, I was also developing relationships with vendors, with contractors, with customers.
Yeah.
You know, and so when I sold that business and, you know, went full time into Ansbach Media, which had actually been created in 2001, everything solidified.
Yeah.
You know, and my books are my legacy to the world, you know, teaching them everything I know, you know. Yeah. And so we look at those things. What are we contributing?
That's right. That's right.
And so for you and I think it's going to pass on to your kids and your grandkids, because they see what grandpa is doing. They see that the relationships he's building to give them something more in life.
Yeah.
You know, so
I'll tell you, this has been an absolute pleasure, Rob. And I'm looking at the time going, holy cow, where did the time go so fast? And so, but I'll tell you, this has been an absolute pleasure. And, if that resonates with you, see what you like at the Million Dollar Relationships podcast, and by all means, reach out to me.
Yeah, so. go visit his podcast. He's got lots of great guests on there. I watched a bunch of them, and I think you'll enjoy it. So see you guys on the next episode. Adios.
Bye, everybody.